Hey there, welcome back to another new episode of Analytics Neat. This is episode 183, and I'm your host, Bill Bruno, at Bill Bruno on Twitter, at Analytics Neat on Twitter. That's the only social media channel that worked on Monday anyways. And use the hashtag Analytics Neat to send any inquiries. You can also reach out to me on LinkedIn like many of you do. And thank you all for taking the time to listen, to send me topic ideas, to send me your comments. Please continue to do so. And if you get a moment and you haven't subscribed on a podcast platform, please do that and leave a 5-star review if you like what you have to hear. If you don't want to leave a 5-star review, then you know maybe don't. So I hope everybody had a great weekend. This is obviously coming out on Tuesday. That is the new schedule update. Just a lot easier for me. Not going to lie, it's a little bit difficult sometimes to turn it around on a Monday, depending on what's going on the weekends. And this also allows me to cover off any of the news that might come out on a Monday, as there always tends to be something, and I end up re-recording or adding something in and removing something and using it in a later month. So we're going to go ahead and change the schedule to come out every Tuesday now going forward. And it's probably a good thing, because next Sunday is not only the marathon here in Chicago, which is always a favorite day to go watch and cheer on all the runners, but I also have playoff tickets for my Chicago White Sox, and that is a night game. So there is just, as Vince McMahon would say, no chance in hell that would be getting recorded on a Sunday night, because who knows what I would say. And as we get into this week's undercard, I know I alluded to it in the intro, but I'm just wondering, which country do we think hacked Facebook and took all of our data on Monday? It was pretty funny to watch everyone freaking out about those being down. I, on the other hand, was quite okay with it. And good on Twitter, although there were some issues with Twitter as well, showing some replies and stuff. So I'm curious to see what comes out from that. But I do think that my favorite update during this entire outage was that Facebook had made a statement that they were dispatching some employees to the data centers to do a manual reset. So in every sense of the word, that is the typical IT response that we all know and love of, have you tried restarting it? And that obviously didn't work, but things seem to be back up and running now, and good on them. But I look forward to learning more details about what exactly the issue was and why that happened. We obviously have had a few outages lately. We had some AWS outages a week ago as well. So who knows what's going on, but I look forward to learning a bit more. I also wanted to make a note that there's an upcoming webinar this Thursday, October 7th, if I've got the date right, is a webinar that I have the pleasure of doing with Joe Stanhope from Forrester. The title is quite long, but it's "You're Not Alone in Your Struggles to Deliver Hyper-Personalized Customer Moments." I'm looking forward to it. I've seen Joe's content, and as always, he will be fantastic. So at a minimum, just come to hear what Joe has to say, and you could stick around and hear me rant about something at the end if you'd like, and bring your questions. So looking forward to having some of you neaters out there joining that. I will tweet out the link again to register and put it out on LinkedIn as well. In other news, it's been now tech season, with all the inquiries coming from Forrester for various categories, but also several waves have started to hit the wire as well. And one of the most recent ones I was pleased to see was the Forrester wave for Conversation Intelligence, Sales and Marketing, Q4 2021. Another long name. We're just naming everything quite lengthy these days. But I was pleased to see this because an old partner of Strategent, where we had done some work together, Invoca, was the leader in this one. And we had done some work, and they've got a fantastic platform for call centers and analytics and activation. There were some other ones in there as well, Chorus.ai, Marchex, and several others. I thought it was really interesting when I was looking at this wave report, because as you know, they make the size of the circle relative to market presence. And so Invoca and Gong and Marchex all have the biggest circles. And then there's another leader in the category, RingDNA, and it has a very, very tiny little one. So good on them. I don't know a whole lot about them, but it's kind of cool to see somebody in a leader category that doesn't have a lot of market share, because that's potentially a technology we're going to hear a lot about in the coming years if their strategy and their current offering is as strong as Forrester has led us to believe. So just wanted to give a shout out to the Invoca crew and congratulate them on where they placed in this year's wave. And go ahead and take a look at that if you're interested in conversation intelligence, because we're going to come on to some of that in the main event as well. And that brings us to the last topic for this week's undercard. This one is a bit murky, and I have a lot of questions. But Google has come out, and we've talked about it in the past, and if you've ever used Google Analytics, you've probably seen it in their environment, but there are various types of quote-unquote attribution that you can do. And from a Google ad perspective, it's always defaulted to last click attribution as the default conversion model. And why is that? Well, it's typically the easiest to measure. And because of the fragility of the data and all the things you've heard me rant about, it's pretty difficult to do anything else. But apparently, Google is changing that tact in light of third-party cookies being blocked and Apple's intelligent tracking prevention and all the gaps that we've talked about in the past. And they are no longer going to rely on last click attribution because they're probably not able to maintain that as they used to be able to as the environment is changing. So instead, they're changing the default attribution method to what they're calling data-driven attribution, and they're claiming it's an algorithmic solution that assigns credit to different impressions over time. Now, as I've read through the blog posts and various articles about this, what I find really funny is that Google hadn't made this the default because it wouldn't meet volume thresholds and they would never really, the model was not functioning well to give any real insight into what was leading to that conversion. You know, whether it was a specific app or a specific landing page or a specific advertisement. And again, you know, from a smaller advertiser perspective, it was pretty difficult to get really any view using that, which is why it always defaulted to last click attribution. Now, to me, this change seems to try to hide the issues, if you ask me. As I mentioned, it feels a bit murky. How did they fix this issue? Google claims that they've now got an algorithmic solution that performs at any scale, at any volume, and I'm not buying it because that's just not how data science generally works, especially in the advertising industry with all of the challenges and all of the data gaps that exist. To me, it feels like shifting to this model just makes it less transparent. And the reason for that is to try to still proclaim that certain things are working when maybe they're not. So before you go ahead and go all in on this new approach and just trusting the data, I definitely urge you to ask some questions, to dig into the details, to try to better understand what this data-driven attribution model is, what data it takes as inputs, where what the outputs look like and how it's able and where it's able to measure, what the blind spots are, so on and so forth. Just don't, and pardon the pun here, but just don't blindly accept that this is working, because I guarantee you that there are blind spots. And when you switch to this kind of murky model, it's very difficult to try to unpack it, right? It's kind of like, you know, when you get to a net promoter score and you get that score and you didn't really know what went into it, you just knew you had a score. And so changing it was quite difficult. I feel like this is a lot of the same situation. And I get it as a vendor, if you're going to have data gaps and if you're going to be, as Google is, removing third-party cookies by 2023, as we've discussed in the archives, then you have to do something to try to shift away from some of the versions of the models that perhaps didn't work before. Now, that all being said, the last click attribution model and several others will still be available in the reporting sandbox, at least as of right now. But just be aware that the default is changing. And if you have some concerns around this, there's a ton of posts out in the market here that you can read and dig into to learn a little bit more. But that'll wrap up this week's undercard. We'll go ahead and jump into the main event. I had stumbled across a couple of fun articles about chatbots earlier last week and thought that I would just provide some of the stats that I read because I thought it was quite interesting. And I'm also curious for you neaters out there, do you prefer interacting with chatbots or would you rather call a person? For me personally, I like the chatbots if it can get the job done. And no two chatbots are created equally. Every organization's installation of chatbots is quite different. And you can also tell the organizations that are actually trying to monitor what you're saying to the chatbot in an attempt to intervene and send you down the right path. And those are the vendors that are doing it right, in my opinion. But according to some of the surveys in in one of the articles, it was 48% of consumers prefer a chatbot that solves issues over a chatbot that has personality. And that made me laugh because you've seen a lot of chatbots try to be more and more like a human. We know it's not a human on the other side of the keyboard. We just want whatever it is that we're looking to solve for taken care of. And it's a 50-50 split. Apparently, some people like the personality. I personally would just like to get the resolution as quickly as possible. That's why you're going to a chatbot, or at least that's why I am, because I didn't want to pick up the phone and spend time on the phone talking to someone and waiting and so on and so forth. Just wanted to get it done. But what I thought was interesting was in banking operational savings attributed to chatbots, according to one of the articles I read, is projected to grow to 3,150% between 2019 and 2023. And I've seen some of this in our clients and some of the benefits that they're getting from chatbots. Candidly, we've got Celebrus monitoring what's going into the chatbots for several brands. And based on what you're typing and your sentiment, other things happen to move you along, which is the right way to do things. And it puts a little bit of science into it and allows for a better customer experience. But the operational savings cannot be denied. It's also apparently effective chatbots are incredibly cost effective as well. And this is where it comes into not no two chatbots being created equal, because according to a different article that looked more holistically, chatbots can cut operational costs by over 30%. And that is also a huge number when you think about the cost savings there. And you know, then it becomes a value equation of how much are you paying for that chatbot versus the others. What type of chatbot are you using? You know, given that it's a 50-50 split of personality versus just get the job done, you know, where do you take it from here? That being said, when I saw some chatbot statistics for customer demand, over 80% of consumers said their typical chatbot experience is neutral or positive. Can't really get mad at that. If only about 13% don't like the chatbot experience, that's a pretty strong number and a pretty big reason to make a chatbot part of your environment. They also, consumers also claim that 24/7 service is the most useful functionality. And I've been victim of this too. You forget to do something or you needed to change something in one of your accounts and you know you can't call because it's 9 o'clock at night. But the fact that a chatbot sometimes can get the job done at all hours is massively impactful. Now, what I will say is that's also it's a blessing and a curse, because if you have individuals interacting with your chatbots at all hours and you're not staffed to support it, then you absolutely need to have the right analytics, the right data capture, and the right intelligence in play to take advantage of what's being done in that moment and try to push people down the right path. Because as we know, robots don't always get the job done. We've talked about the racist robot segments a million times and how AI can go wrong and it can get quite frustrating. Now, it's good that 87% of people find it neutral or favorable, but think about what you could do to make it even more effective to you as a business if you're actually doing something with that data in the moment and sending people to the right spots if that content is available for self-service somewhere online. And just a couple of final points to wrap things up. And I suppose the chatbot technologies out there, I'm making a great business case for them. They could probably just use this podcast to go in and sell to a client and should probably just send me some money as a referral as well. But apparently a lot of the younger generations engage with bots on a daily basis to the tune of north of 40% of them. And 35% of people use chatbots to resolve a complaint or to get detailed answers. So it is a massive uptick over the last few years. I did look at a few different articles talking about the growth and the use of chatbots. Obviously, during COVID, those became massively impactful as well, and that's probably part of the reason why people have become so comfortable with them. But with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up this week's episode of Analytics Neat. Again, as a reminder, new episodes every Tuesday going forward. Please have a great rest of your week and a wonderful weekend. Stay safe and wear a damn mask, and we'll be back next week, folks. Thanks so much for listening.